That was just great. That was great. I love the guitar. I just love that. And that was just well done. If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 10 tonight. Romans chapter number 10. And our topic this evening is making the gospel presentation crystal clear. Crystal clear. And I know that sometimes on Wednesday nights, we'll be doing verse by verse. And we'll look at some verses tonight. But what an important topic, making the gospel crystal clear. It's one thing for the gospel to be clear to us, but it is a very important thing to make it crystal clear to someone else. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. I understand that. But one day you may be a friend sharing the gospel with a friend, and they've got to get it. They've got to understand it. You may be sharing it with a neighbor. You may be sharing it with someone who's passing away. You may be a grandparent sharing it with your grandchild. And we just cannot be too clear. And so we're going to kind of hit the reset button a little bit. And so notice here, please, in Romans chapter number 10. And notice we're going to look down in verse number 17 here. And then we'll pray. Romans 10 and verse number 17. Notice what it says. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? By what? Hearing. Not by reading, but by hearing. And so we're going to talk about four verses, and then we'll fill in these blanks here. Father, bless this time we have. Thank you for the good music tonight, the good fellowship, the camaraderie, the friendships, the smiles. I pray that tonight you would teach us. Teach us something maybe we've not thought about, or re-push a button we've not considered in a while, so that somehow when we're called upon to give the gospel to someone who's willing to hear it, that they would understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. I need a volunteer to help me with this, preferably someone sitting on the fourth pew. The fourth pew. Oh, Brother Brett. Hey, thanks. Come on up here. Look at that. Hey, the only man sitting on the whole fourth pew. All right, so here's kind of how this works. Hey, man, you can count, man. That's good. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. And so there we are. So here's kind of how it works. And so he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let me rehearse real quick. All right, so it's kind of like this. So the Bible says God loves us. No. He loves us.
No, I don't believe it.
And he sent his son to die for us.
No, I don't believe it.
And salvation is a free gift. It's free. All you have to do is receive it.
No.
And when Jesus died, he rose from the dead.
No.
And 3 days later, he rose again. And he ascended up into heaven and to build us mansions there.
This might be true.
And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save anyone who will call upon him.
I believe it.
He's the only way to heaven.
Really?
He will save anybody.
Okay.
He will save you.
Yes.
Now, that's how it works. So someone may not have any faith at all. They may not believe a thing you're saying. They may tell you, I'm an atheist. I don't even believe there is a God. It doesn't matter. The word of God is powerful.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing. As they hear it, God starts giving them something unseen and unmeasured. He gives them a degree of faith to believe something they've not seen. And as they hear it, maybe it's during the presentation, they'll go from no faith to a little faith to I believe it and get saved. Sometimes they'll hear it and think about it. And the second time they come to church, they'll hear more. And pretty soon they start believing it and then they get saved. So that's why the Word of God is so important. Never stop witnessing if someone says, I don't believe anything you're saying. Doesn't matter. Can I at least go through it with you? Faith comes by hearing, in hearing by the word of God. Thanks so much, and pray for Brother Brett. We're hoping he'll get saved tonight. I doubt it. He probably won't. But that's why that verse is so important. Faith comes by hearing. And it is God that gives us the faith to believe it. It's not our faith. He even gives us the faith to believe it's true. Now, take your Bibles. Let's look at a couple other verses here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of our good men told me he was reading this chapter this week. In 1 Corinthians 15, we call this the resurrection chapter, but it is also the gospel in a nutshell. The word gospel, we'll talk about in a moment. But 1 Corinthians 15, and looking down in verse 1 through 4, notice what the Apostle Paul says to this church at Corinth. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received." So how many of you would say your verse 1, you have heard the gospel and you received it? Okay, that would be us. And then he says, verse 2, "by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So Paul says, all I did was tell you what I was told. And that's what soul winning is. Someone told us the gospel. Now we're telling someone else the gospel. And then he says at the end of verse 3, how that Christ, now here's the gospel, died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that is the gospel in a nutshell. Christ, or the Son of God, Jesus was God. He died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. That is the gospel right there. And so there's Paul just making it so clear. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with me? We'll see it in the blanks in just a moment. Now let's skip all the way to the end, the book of Revelation in chapter number 12, if you will. Revelation chapter number 12. Someone says, Pastor, how long has the gospel been around? Is the gospel just been since Jesus came to the earth? No, it's always been. Get this, the same gospel that we have today, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus for us, Abraham also had. It's mentioned in Galatians 3. He had the gospel preached unto him. Except we look back by faith and we know the Savior's name was Jesus. Abraham looked forward by faith. He didn't know the Savior's name, but he got saved just like we get saved. Faith in the Son of God dying for our sins, rising again. It's always been one gospel. Except we look back, they looked forward. One way to heaven. Old Testament was not the sacrifices earning their way to heaven. It was still a gift, and it was through Christ. So notice what he says in Revelation chapter 12, and looking down into verse number, here it is right here. Okay, a little prophecy. You ready? So here it is. We'll skip back to verse 13. So right now, the Jews in the book of Revelation, after we're in heaven, they get persecuted. They're starting to get saved, all right? And so the two witnesses have preached. They've been killed by the Antichrist, and they lie in the streets for 3 days. It's a great passage. They celebrate. They hate them so much that they will not even bury their dead bodies, Revelation 11. They start sending gifts to each other, just like Christmas time. They're celebrating, kind of like the wicked witch is dead. They're dancing like the Wizard of Oz almost. And so what happens to these Jews? They're persecuted, verse 13. "And when the dragon, a symbol of Satan, saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, the nation of Israel, which brought forth the man-child, Jesus. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle," possibly that's America, helping rescue the persecuted Jews during this time in the tribulation, possible, "that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, a year, times, 2 years, And half a time, 3.5 years, persecution from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. That flood is always a symbol of persecution. After the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now here it is, verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, this is just some meat for those of you that's been saved for a good while. So during this persecution time, we'll get to the gospel here. These Jews are being saved. 144,000 Jehovah's, no, not Jehovah's Witnesses. I was just trying to get you there. But 144,000 Jewish young men are saved during this tribulation time. They become flaming evangelists, much like a Billy Graham, just bottled up, ready to give the gospel. See, God never gives up on the world. He takes us out, immediately two witnesses appear. The world's always got the gospel. There's always an opportunity to be saved. Salvation is what God is all about. And so now they're being persecuted, and the earth opens up. Guess what happens? They start hiding the persecuted Jews, much like the hiding place when Corrie ten Boom was hiding those fleeing the German persecution. And as they shelter these Jews, the Jews are saying, let me tell you why we're being persecuted, because we believe Jesus, and they're sharing the gospel. And now everyone who's hiding the Jews is now hearing the gospel, and multitudes are being saved. So if someone has told you after the rapture no one gets saved, they're wrong. It'll be a ton of people get saved. God is into salvation. Now, notice that this one also, please. Chapter 14 and verse number 6. Now, this is God speaking. Notice what he says. And this is great. Chapter 14 and then verse 6. And, all right. Justin, Brother Steve, or someone had me a little pointer. I'm supposed to have a pointer, a little laser. Maybe ask him where that is, and we'll find that in a moment. 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the, what kind of gospel? Everlasting. What's that mean? It's always been. It's always been. It's always been the good news, and it always will be the good news. Preach. Having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and the people. And so what is going on during the tribulation? There is someone preaching the gospel and trying to get it to every nation, because not everyone has heard yet. And with that in mind, that's why we're talking a little bit tonight about making the gospel presentation crystal clear. In your notes, let's glance at a couple of these little blanks here. What is soul winning? It is a miniature on-the-spot church service. So if you have ever witnessed to anyone or given them your testimony or explained to someone how to get saved, you were doing a church service just kind of on the spot. Maybe it was without the choir, maybe without the guitars and the thank you so much. Okay. Maybe it was without those things, but it was just like a church service. You were given a short sermon, which was the gospel. You were given an invitation not to come forward, but to accept Christ right then. A miniature, on-the-spot church service. Though we don't say much about women preachers and women pastors, things like that, we are all called to preach the gospel. Men, women, male, female, children, young people, elderly, we are all, quote, preachers of the gospel to give out the good news. Next, it's simply telling, and I love this, the old, old story. It's telling your story. I love that old hymn, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. And the second verse says, and when in glory I hear the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. The new song in heaven's just going to be the old story we've heard our whole life. The gospel, it's old but it's called the gospel. Now, with that in mind, look at this. The gospel is good news. That's the basic definition for the gospel. It's good news. Why would we call it good news? Brother Steve and I were sharing the gospel with a couple last night, and I told them this statement. I said, it's good news. And then I said, it's good because it's free, but it's news because most people have never heard it clearly. And they said, this is our first time to ever hear this tonight. So here they are, 15 miles from our church. It was an old, old story for us, but a new, new story for them. Quickly, it is news because most people have never heard it clearly. I want to say this too. The devil, and this is not in the notes, complicates it. He complicates it. It's our job as soul winners to simplify it. Okay, you help me, a little audience participation. I know some of you are tired right now. Please don't lay down, though. That's not good. You help me. No long speech, but just tell me. Before you got saved, what did you think you had to do to earn heaven? Someone in this section here. I'd always thought I had to get baptized or join a church. Someone, what did you think you had to do? I mean, if we'd have stopped you on the street, what do you have to do to go to heaven? What were you thinking or taught you had to do? Anybody? Larry?
Confess your sins.
Who said communion? Had to go to communion, eat the cracker, drink the... what was it, Josephine? Good works. Good works. Anybody else over here? What was it that you had always thought you had to do?
Confess my sins to the priest.
Confess your sins to the priest. Okay, Brother John? Had to get baptized. How about over here in the middle section? Something, I mean, if we'd have just stopped you and said, what do you have to do to go to heaven? You would have said, oh, you got to do this. Okay, be a good person. Okay, Velma? Okay, be a good person. Anybody else here? Obey the Ten Commandments. You know what I like about that? When someone says, well, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. Really? I always say, well, if that's what you have to do, I'm sure you know them. Can you name them? And they start, you know, don't take God's name in vain. Don't murder. And then they start messing up. Don't litter. Be good. Do good to them who are good to you. Yeah, man, and usually I'll say, if you don't know them, I bet you don't keep them. And so how about this section? What did you think before you got saved you had to do to earn heaven or get there? Anybody over here? Okay, Ron? Go to church? Brother Stevenson? Do what?
Go on a mission.
Oh, yeah, you was raised Mormon. Did you have to own a 10-speed or was that optional? He's got such a good spirit. Man, I wouldn't want to be on a 10-speed right now. It's dangerous. But there it is. I thought when you died, you would end up on a street corner. And if you chose the narrow path, you would go to heaven. If you chose the broad street, you would go to hell. And I just knew I was going to take the narrow street because that's the way to heaven. Isn't it strange? All these things we thought, Satan makes it seem hard. Someone says, you got to be good. My question, how good is good? Is it 1,000 good deeds? So if you only do 999, you miss it by one? See, most of the time, people don't want to discuss it when you get them in a corner because they have no idea really what they believe. They just don't know, and they feel so uncomfortable because they don't know the Bible. And so there we are there. So quickly, simplicity of the gospel. In the book of Corinthians, Paul says, don't be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, here's the blanks just quickly. It is simple. It is simple. Next, it is free. Next, it is a gift. Next, you can know if you've received it. Man, aren't you glad we don't just hope to the end? We hope we're saved and wait till judgment day and figure out if it's heaven or hell. I'm so glad we can pillow our heads at night and we know it. We have a know-so salvation. Next, it is written in a book. It is not just something someone told us, but it's right here in black and white in the Bible. So if you don't feel saved the next morning, you can still look at it and there it is. It gives you that assurance. Millions of lives testify to it. Now, it's being saved is as simple as opening a door. There's the reference. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone can open a door. That's how simple being saved is. Receiving a gift, but the gift of God. Drinking a glass of water, the woman at the well. So easy to drink a glass of water. Walking into a room, God says to Noah and his family, get on the ark, come on in, come on in. They walked inside the ark and they were saved, a symbol of salvation. Now, let's get on just several practical things here. Telling the old story does them good. By the way, for all eternity. They can't be saved if they've never heard it. And that's why it's so vital. Vital. Someone said, well, I'm not right with the Lord, so why should I witness? You know, you can be wrong with the Lord and people still get saved. Amen. The Bible is so potent and so powerful, a drunk could quote the gospel and someone get saved. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Ask David Brainerd, the missionary to the American Indians. He never learned the language of the Indians, so he hired an interpreter. Most of the time, the interpreter was drunk. And as Brainerd preached, the interpreter interpreted in a drunken state, Indians got saved. How come? It's the word that's powerful, not always the messenger. It helps if the messenger's clean, but if he's not, the word of God still does something wonderful. Telling the old story does them good. And here's what's sweet about it. It also does you good because you hear it again. If you're constantly doubting if you ever got saved, if you're one of those people that get saved 10 or 15 times during your Christian life, baptized a dozen times or so, if you'll start sharing the gospel regularly as you give your testimony, you'll be hearing it again. You'll be hearing it again. And it brings salvation sweet to you as you're telling the old story, telling when you got saved. It is warming your heart because you're hearing it again. Just so important. So what are some practical tips here on this? And we'll use part of this in the PowerPoint a little bit. All right, let me see if I can get this thing going here. Okay, is that right? Okay. All right, so Justin, what am I supposed to do with this here? Okay, I've got a little laser. Okay, does this work? Yep. Okay, I've got it. Is it red? Is it white? Okay, I got the second button. Nothing's happening. I got the first button. Nothing's happening. Got two buttons. Nothing's happening. Okay, we'll just leave this right here. It was a good thought. It was a real good thought. So here we are. The soul-winning cheat sheet, and we've been through this before. You say, why are we going through this again? Because soul winning cannot just be we're excited and we share some things. There's some basics that have to take place before a person can be saved. Okay, illustration. You have an appendectomy. The doctor's all excited. They've got you in the operating room. He runs in, cuts you open, looks. He says, yep, I think they need that. He stitches you up and sends you home. See, they have to cut you open, take out the infected appendix. They have to sew you back up and then send you to your room. There's certain procedure you cannot skip if you're going to heal the person. And so that's why sometimes we'll review this. We cannot leave some of these things out and be thorough. We've got to be thorough. Salvation is not just telling someone Jesus loves you, though that is part of the gospel. It is not just telling them to repeat a prayer. They've got to get the whole thing. So let's review just for a moment here. Here we go. All right. Hey, did you? Okay. All right. Okay, let's keep going. That's passing out a tract. Breaking the ice. We talked some about this. There's three parts that word ice means. Individual. You want to spend some time talking about them. How come? If you're not interested, you're not interesting. You're never going to win a lot of people if all you ever do is knock on the door and say, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Last night, we had two people saved. The lady's name was Tiffany. The man's name was John. They have three daughters, 19, 15, 13. We were interested in their family. He works at a school. She works at an insurance firm. I know their address. I've got their phone number. We spent some time finding out about them. See, you don't want to be that person that won someone to Christ and you never knew their name and you don't know anything about them. It was just a rushed speech and then you leave. You're building a relationship. Now, they may not have 20 or 30 minutes, and I'm not saying to take 20 minutes and find out their life history, but there ought to be some interaction. You want to show some interest. Speak to the individual. Next, the C stands for church. You end up transitioning, and now you're going to talk about the church. By the way, the whole reason we're here, we're inviting you to church. Let me tell you what the church has for your age category. You know, if they're in their 90s, don't brag on the nursery. If they're a teenager, don't talk about the pastor's seniors class. For those that are 60 and older, you know, you want to be age appropriate. Then E, you're transitioning into eternity, and you're going to ask the question. In your blanks there, I think we have that Romans 3:23. There's the verse I always use. And the question I will always ask is, if you died today, pause. Are you 100% sure, pause, that you would go to heaven? I'll let it sink in. When we asked that question of that couple last night, you could see it sinking in. Don't be in a hurry. If you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. If I did what? Die today. That's not a word, die today. Maybe it's Japanese or something. Die today. If you died today, are you 100? Now, if they're 110 years of age, don't be too spooky when you're saying it. If you died today, and you might, you know. So there's the question there. Then I'll always use the illustration of the video camera. And I think it's on there somewhere. Okay, right there. The reason is you want the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin. Conviction is them realizing how sinful they've been. You don't want to skip over it. We've all sinned. You know that. Next verse is. So instead of interrogating and saying we've all sinned, have you lied? Have you been drunk? Have you cheated? Have you lusted? Have you embezzled? It shouldn't be interrogation. Just hold up the video camera. If God videoed your whole life, every place, every action, every word, every thought, and put it on nationwide television for your mother to see, for your kids, the whole world to see. I've had people start crying right there and say, he wouldn't, would he? I said, he, yeah. No, I didn't say that. But would you want him to show? No, I wouldn't. Me neither. Now you're relating. I know I've sinned. Have you? So you don't have to argue. Just what that does, as you're saying that video camera, the Holy Spirit is bringing up actions and thoughts and places and deeds. He's filling their minds with things they've done, showing them, that's you, you're a sinner. See, it's his job to convict, not mine. Right. It's not my job to say, I bet you do that. That's his job. Right. And so no person goes to heaven who will not admit they have sinned. So that's the first step. I don't spend a lot of time on there, maybe a minute, and I'll go through that. Second part here, let's keep going. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The illustration, you want an illustration for each point. And you could use the book of Revelation to win someone to Christ. You can skip around in the Bible. But when you use what we call the Romans road, the verses in Romans, you're staying in the same book of the Bible. It's less confusing. You're turning a page, you're turning a page. You're not showing 15 verses, though you could. You can get by with 4 if you're thorough, you see. But you've got to explain what that word death means. It's not enough to say the wages of sin is death. Do you agree? Now, the next point is, no. So what's that mean? Physical, spiritual death. We're all going to die physically. We're all going to die spiritually if we die unforgiven. And then I will always explain who hell was made for. And I'll always say, I don't have a problem in the Bible where it talks about hell because it wasn't made for me. Right. See, people have a problem with hell because why would a loving God send their loved ones to hell? It was made for Satan, an angel, Lucifer. He sinned. God created that for him and his demons. But anyone that dies unforgiven of their sins would have to go there as well. So you've got to explain that. Then keep moving. Now the good news. Now you're upbeat here. 623 part B. Here it is. Gift of God's eternal life. So notice throughout the throughout your presentation, you got the video camera, you got a visual aid. You got a visual aid. There's two deaths. Now you're holding up your fingers. Now you're talking about salvation is a gift. You're holding up an ink pen. Why are we doing all this? Here's why. People have short attention spans these days. Used to, they would have a commercial every 11 minutes in a television show because people's attention span, there was a lull. They couldn't hang on the show that long. Now it's even less than that. So to just stand up and lecture for 30 minutes, you're not going to keep their attention. You're going to have to talk about illustrations. You're drawing them in. You see what's going on? Because a picture's worth 1,000 words. You're saying a lot by what you're doing, you see. And I'll always use the gift because most people think they earn heaven. So the gift, it's for everyone, but only those that receive it go to heaven. And you've heard me go through that whole thing. But I'll put it there and I'll say, Jesus died, was buried, notice the pen, and rose again for the whole world. But the whole world's not going to heaven. Only those individuals who receive him. Now, if they're Spanish, I'll say, who receive him into their quarter zone. Okay. And so if you throw one Spanish word in every 10 minutes, it means, you know. So that's what I do. So the little gift there. You follow me? Last night, it looked like the lights went on. It was, oh. Because they've been taught you earn your way to heaven. Now they're hearing it's a free gift, you see. Let me hurry. You say, Pastor, I know all this. Okay, let's keep going. Then Romans 5:8, gift of God. But God committed his love toward us. Christ died for us. You don't want to rush through there because that's where your power comes from. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, guess what it is? The power of God unto salvation. That's our power. So take some time on the cross. We've heard tons of sermons, crucifixion sermons, Easter sermons, but the average person you witness to has never heard the depth of the sufferings of Christ. They may know he died on a cross, but not know why. They may know he died, but not know he was spit upon. His beard was plucked. A crown of thorns. His back was whipped. His face was beaten. He was stabbed in the side with a spear. God took everyone's hell and put it on him. He became our substitute. Give the details. How come? That's the battering ram for the hard hearts. Because you're telling them he did that because of you. And he did that for you. Last night when we said, if you were the only sinner on the planet, he would have died just to save you. That's when the tears started coming. Why? Because most people have not heard, I love you, or God loves you for a long, long time. As beat up as people are, they need to hear, you're special. God loves you. I mean, he died for you. And then always get him out of the grave. A dead Jesus doesn't save anybody. Just because Jesus died for the world doesn't save anyone. He had to rise from the dead. That verified that he was the Son of God, not just a man. So get him out of the grave. I was talking to a teenager one time and I said, and he rose from the dead. He said, he did. I'll never forget it. He'd never heard of the resurrection. Now he's up in heaven. And if they speak a little Spanish, I'll say, he is in gloria. Constructing mucho bonita grande casa is for you. That's my Spanish. That's the best I can do. And they'll always kind of, okay. So let's keep going here quickly. So you cannot skip any of these truths. You have to cover. We're sinners. Now, if you're witnessing to a child and they don't get the concept of sin, and I mean, everything you talk about, they don't get it. They're not ready to be saved yet. they're safe. If they don't understand, they're safe. So we're sinners. We deserve hell. God's gift is through Christ and his death on the cross. It's free. He rose from the dead. That's the three. Then next, notice here, give your salvation testimony. Now, we discussed that in detail several weeks ago, but that's where you put it. You've now told the old story. Now you're telling your old story. Amen. They've heard what the Bible says. Now they need to hear, well, how did that help you? And so you're giving them the time, place, and day. Again, if you don't remember the time, it was morning, afternoon, evening. If you don't remember, you will remember the place. You may not remember the date, but you can say it was summer. It was 1990. It was 2020. Yeah. Give them something. Why? You're trying to make it so specific that they compare their life and say, I've never done that. I've never done that. See, again, we're not trying to get them saved. We're trying to get them lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, let's shoot up here. Can we shoot up the bridge illustration now, the bridge picture? So you've seen this on big days. A lot of you serve other places. And you see my little pointer. I've got this white light. Never mind. That doesn't work. But usually at that point, I'll say, I've got a picture of you. Let me show you this, and then we're done. And I'll take a moment to review. I think it's on your notes. I'll say something like, okay, so I believe just like you, and then I'm done. I've sinned. You said, me too. Without Christ, can't go to heaven. Me too. Jesus loved us, died, rose again. Me too. There's one difference, if any, between us. Last night I said, it's not the gray hair. It's not the number of kids. It's not our vocation. It's not our vehicles. But it's this. If I died right now, I'd go straight up. And here's why. And I'll give my testimony. 51 years ago, I heard what you just heard. I'd never heard it before. I knelt down by my couch, folded my hands, and said, God, if this is true, I'm going to hell. The best I know, I'm receiving you in my heart right now. And guess what happened? Immediately, my guilt left me. And that fear of death disappeared. Amen. That's when he came in. Most people have never done it. Here's the picture. It's a picture of you. And I'll point to it. I'll say, there's you and me right there. The first time we ever sinned, it separated us from God. That's the empty spot in our heart. We try to fill it with drugs, alcohol, money, fame, fortune, popularity, gangs. It never satisfies. If we got what we deserve, we'd fall into hell. Picture number two. We try our best to build our own bridges to heaven. A lot of good things we try, but they're all too short. We cannot earn heaven. Picture number three. The good news, Jesus died on the cross. When he died, his blood and his love built a bridge from heaven all the way to, and last night I said, all the way to Carnation Street in Vallejo. So if I know where I am, they'll say, that's my house, you know, because I know where I am. But just because the bridge is there doesn't put you across. Then the last picture. You must decide to cross. You must believe. You must receive. Then I looked at the couple last night and I said, y'all are married, right? Oh, yeah, we're married. I said, you remember when it was? Where it was? Who you married? Yeah. It's kind of a big thing, huh? Oh, yeah, it was big. I said, so if you've ever crossed that bridge, and now I'm pointing, picture one, you'd remember the time, the place, the day. Then I summarize, and I'll say something like this. Has anyone ever explained it this clearly to you? And has there ever been a time, place, day you found out you were here, picture three, headed down here to hell, and crossed over to picture four? Has that ever happened to you? You're the only one that would know. Tonight's the first time we've ever heard this. Well, I appreciate your honesty. So that means you would probably be right here, picture number three. So that means you love God, you love your family, but if you died right now, you'd be dying on the wrong side of the bridge, unforgiven. Where does the Bible say you would have to go if you died unforgiven right now? Last night the husband said, hell, wife, hell. Is that what you want? Wouldn't you Want to get across to the fourth picture? Sure would. Then, Romans 10:13. Then you're ready to read that famous verse. Fish is on the line. He has swallowed the hook. He's ready to be reeled in now. They're lost. That's why sometimes we witness to people, and at the end we say, did you just get saved? I don't know. See, they never got lost. And if they never got lost, they never get saved. So that's why you want to take your time and go through it thoroughly. Because it may be the only time they ever hear the gospel. So don't rush. We're in no hurry. It's like a surgery in a surgery room. I mean, you want to get this thing right. And so then the last verse, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever is you. Doesn't that mean God will save anyone who asked him? Yes. How many times would you have to ask if he's a gift? One time. Doesn't that mean that Jesus would save and forgive you if you ask it? Yes. I'm going to have a prayer before I leave. Then I'll always say, I cannot forgive your sins. But the one who can is probably standing right here. I've had him actually do this. And then I'll say, I don't see him either. And, okay. And so I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And I'll always try to make it dramatic. I'll say, if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, have him erase your video, start building your mansion, promise you no hell. And if you believe what he did on the cross was enough to pay for your sins, and you believe he'll come in right now forever, like he said, if that's what you want, and then I'll take my hand like this, simply place your hand right here, and their hand will be there. And I don't stop and say, no, you got to really mean it. No, I don't do it. I mean, I've been thorough. They want to get saved. I'll say, put your hand right there. As soon as they do, I'll say, dear Lord, and I'll pray. I'll pray for them, and then I'll have them pray out loud after me. You say, well, they shouldn't pray after you. All I know is this. If you let them pray silently, you have no idea what they're praying. Dear God, help our nation. Help the port of Oakland. Let all those containers go so we have Christmas presents. Help the gas prices to go down. Oh, God. Who knows what they're praying? So at least if they're praying after you, you can hear them. Now, sometimes they won't pray right away because a lot of spiritual warfare is going on in their head. Demons and who knows what's shooting through their brain. So if you say, dear Lord, and they don't say anything, just say out loud, go ahead, after me, here we go. Our heads are bowed. Pray right after me. Here we go. Dear Jesus. Oh, okay. Dear Jesus. And then lead them in a prayer. So let's finish our notes. What do we have? I don't have my watch with me. 1 minute, 2 minutes. What do we have till? Till 9 o'clock. How much time till? Till 9 o'clock. Okay, it's 8 right now. Okay, we have an hour. Okay. No, we don't. Let me just give you the answers here just quickly. If you didn't fill them out, ask the question. Illustration, video camera, physical and spiritual. It says hell. Next one, ink pen. Illustration, after 5:8, the crucifixion. Give salvation testimony. Explain bridge picture. And then get them to admit they have never done that before and are on their way to hell. Last blank, lead them to Christ in a prayer. Just some tips. It's not the only way to lead a soul to Christ, but hopefully we pick up a tip just to make it clearer. Stop here and we're done. Who's ever gone to the, let me see, what do you call the eye doctor? Iatologist? What is it? Icon? Is it an icon? Hey, get that? A false eye doctor, icon. Okay. Oh, brother. Okay. What is it? Ophthalmologist? What is it? Optometrist. Okay. Ophthalmologist. Okay. Optometrist. You ever have them sit you down and they put that little thing next to you? It's got the two, and they go click, clearer, click, now, or now, this one, now, or now, this one. Which one's clearer? Now. You've done that? Oh, okay. So we're trying to make the gospel that clear. Now or now? It's clear now. We want them to have 20/20 spiritual vision and say, I see what you're saying. And that's the goal there. Heavenly Father, thank you that you let us who were blind to the gospel open our eyes and see.